So we will call this meeting to order at 5:34 PM. And go ahead with the Pledge of Allegiance. Christina, do you want to lead us in the pledge?
Sure. Everybody stand up. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving on to roll call. Let the record show that board member Christy Gerardo is absent and Chuck should be here.
He's coming.
Momentarily.
Yes.
Everybody else is present.
He's in the car.
Perfect. Moving on to agenda approval. Did you guys get a chance to look over the agenda?
Yeah, I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. It looks like Chuck's walking up right now. So we'll go ahead and open it up to public comment. Is there any public comments? Does not look like it. Very good. Moving on to item number 5, agency report. Mr. Porter, you have anything?
Good evening again. This is Christopher Porter, Supervisor Cook's office. Nothing much tonight, just a couple of things. Just you've probably seen Caltrans is doing bridge deck repair on the 15 off of the 138 down there. It's supposed to be going until mid-August. Through the summer. They started in mid-August, but it should be done this summer. Typically the hours of that is 7 p.m. to 5 a.m., just so you're aware. And that includes deck rehabilitation, polyester concrete overlay, methacrylate, replacing bridge rail, joint seals, approach slabs, and repair soffit. So, and then also, just to letting you know that our office and the county is partnering with Assemblyman Lackey's office on AB 2645, so that allows toll roads to share license plate information with law enforcement during alert situations like Amber Alerts. Previously, they've had to go through the warrant process, but this will allow, if there's an alert issued, so there's not a delay in the toll roads sharing that information with law enforcement to help address those situations sooner. But other than that, I don't have any other, anything else to share unless there's any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other agency reports? CERT, school district? Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. Christina Barringer with Snow Line Joint Unified School District. Next week is spring break for our students, and schools will be closed. And we're offering a STEM workshop at Phelan Elementary for students throughout the district.
What kind of workshop?
Science, technology, engineering, and math workshop.
Okay. Oh.
And so that should be a lot of fun. We're piloting this program. And when they return, then we're up to doing standardized testing district-wide. So that should be a lot of fun. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Other agencies. And let the record show that at 5:36, Mr. Chuck joined us. See your reports. All right, moving on to item number 6, consent calendar. Any questions on that, or did everything look good? Those there.
They look fine to me.
Yeah, it looks good to me.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to number 7, general manager's report.
All right. Now spring is here. The porta pots will be removed on March 29th, just in time for the Easter activities. The public bathrooms will be power washed and disinfected prior to them being open to the public. Mark with Wrightwood Arbor Tree Service will be out to trim the trees at the Hollis Stewart Children's Park. Actually, tomorrow. He changed the date from Wednesday to tomorrow. Tomorrow. So we'll have the park closed from approximately 8 to 3 to while school is in session. Hopefully they can get it done in that time frame. And a little over a year ago, I was authorized a budget by the board of $1,500 to have the trees trimmed. The budget doesn't allow for all the trees to be trimmed at the park. So after assessing the condition of the trees, it was decided to prioritize them in the immediately play area of the park. A bid will be submitted for the picnic area towards the trail. So where the picnic tables start and then that way. I don't know direction. North? South? Way. Anyway.
North.
That way. North. So. Let's see. The price includes trimming off the dead branches, cleanup, and hauling away of the dead branches. And since Mark will already be up in the trees, he will be installing some motion sensor solar lighting to help light up the parks at night. The camera bids for the parks are taking a little bit longer than expected, so I hope to have some answers in April. Davison Electric is scheduled to come out tomorrow to replace all the electrical outlets in the main portion of the community building and the one light ballast that has gone bad that we discovered while we were changing out all the light bulbs. Our winter's children dance program has ended. Sorry, when I wrote this, it was still. The last dance recital was Saturday on March 10th, and I heard it was a great success with standing room again. So hopefully it just keeps going. It's amazing. 9 teams signed up for spring adult softball, and the first game was yesterday at the Wrightwood Elementary. This month's free senior lunch will be held on March 13th at 11:30, from 11:30 to 1 p.m. with a St. Patrick's Day theme, so don't forget to wear your green. Come enjoy a lunch of corned beef and cabbage prepared by a wonderful group of volunteers. This month's lunches will be served by students from Wrightwood Elementary, which is so cool. I love that. Anything with the kids involved, it's just amazing. All right, I'm in the process of completing a class to obtain a California Food Manager certificate since we have decided to add the senior activities and lunches to our Parks and Rec. Per California Health and Safety Code 113947, states that all food facilities that prepare, handle, or serve unpackaged food are required to have at least one certified food manager or person in charge, either an owner or employee who has successfully passed and approved an accredited food safety certification. So we decided that I would be the one to take it. Christine Jenkins, Bruce LeClaire, and I have met on several occasions regarding a few grants that we're working on. One of them is the USDA Rural Development Waste and Wastewater Disposal Grant Program, along with another one, which is an Adaptation Planning Grant. And that might go a few directions. We're not going to give out too much on that one. I'm still waiting for a response from the Lahontan Water Board regarding their grant options for us. Victor Hernandez, actually I got an email this morning. Was it Friday or this morning after I wrote this? He was the representative from Senator Ochoa Boak's office. He's the one who was coming and hosting our mobile offices. He will not be with us any longer, but they will be sending another representative. It really is. He was a great, I really enjoyed him. Let's see. So anyway, as far as I know, they will still be having it on the 21st. I'm just not sure who will be here to represent Senator Ochoa Boak. Mountain Hardware will be hosting the annual Wildfire Awareness Day on Saturday, May 11th from 10 to 3. The CSD will have a table at the event promoting our Parks and Rec programs. I encourage everyone to attend. It's a fun day, free day for everybody, free hot dogs, you know, fun stuff for the kids. And that's it. Anyone have any questions?
you said out in Carberry, isn't that the what? Rifle Fire Safe Council?
Yes. Well, they're hosting it. I apologize. Yes. Mountain Hardware hosts it, but it's Fire Safe Council that puts, yes.
If that's under our Parks and Rec, then you have to be there as the certified food person or what?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, not the whole time, but yes. I have to oversee and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So we'll do a protocol, you know, and all that good stuff. The 21st, it's usually the third Thursday. If I hear anything differently before then, I'll verify that they're still coming. I'll shoot an email or do a post or something if things have changed. So hopefully we'll be there. All right.
Very good. Thank you, Tammy. Moving on to item number 8, February 2024 financials. Did anyone have any questions for Ms. Tammy on this?
What are our full-time employees? How many do we have?
Full-time?
Yeah.
Zero.
None.
Zero, okay.
I try. It's really hard.
What constitutes a full one? Anything over 32 hours a week or?
40.
40 a week?
Well, 30
something.
38, I believe. For full time?
Yeah, I don't know what the new thing is for
yeah, I'm
how that goes from part time employee to full time employee with which would include all the benefits and all that.
36 or 38.
Mr. Kennedy, do you know full-time employee how many hours it is per week?
It's 40 hours a week.
40
hours, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Chuck? Anybody else, any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. On softball here on page 1 of 2 of the P&L, it has $450. Was that just because like one team paid before you did the financials, and
yes,
then the rest will reflect next month? Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. And then $90, is that what for dance class? Is that what's made for the whole thing, or is it the same thing? You got like a payment before these and it'll reflect?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Or the dance actually might have been in the January.
In the previous,
in the
right?
Previous,
okay. Gotcha.
Yes,
correct.
Okay.
In advance.
Perfect. Okay, those are the questions I had. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Looks good.
I don't have any questions.
Perfect. And verifying, we don't have to make a motion or anything, Mr. Kennedy, right?
For the, no.
Okay. Cool. Moving on to item number 9, Village Trail Keepers donation request. Ms. Carroll.
I'm Carol Pettigrew-Standell, and I'm here on behalf of the Village Trail Keepers, and we are under the direction of the Wrightwood property owners. We are requesting $1,000 or an amount agreeable to the CSD. The Village Trail is a reflection of the pride of the Wrightwood community. It's used daily by kids walking to school, teens, adults, and seniors are exercising on it. It also provides just a safe way to get into town. I see PCT hikers on it at the right time of year. It's used quite a lot. It's kept as natural as possible, but it is coming to a point where we need to resurface it. The tireless and dedicated volunteers who maintain and improve the trail have been able to fill ruts, regrade, add gravel, do things to make it much more safe. But over the last 3 years, we've counted on a small amount of purchase DG and a larger amount of donated DG that we no longer have. So the decomposed granite, we have an estimate of what we think it will cost us, which I'll get to. And I do have some handouts for you guys on that. We have been advised that it's time to resurface the trail, and specifically we're asking for a donation toward that. The current estimate to resurface the entire length of the trail is up to $10,000, and that's if we use a professional. It has been mentioned to me more than once that we probably should use a professional because they will wet it and pack it properly, and then we probably won't be having to fix it so often. But that's what our trail keepers do. I mean, they get in there and they weed and they scrape it over to make it more level, and they do a lot of things, and they do it with, they're not even here, are they? Nope. I didn't invite them, but they do enough. I didn't ask them to come here tonight. So it would be about $10,000 if we use a professional company. It will be anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 if we get the decomposed granite, if we can reconnect with CAL FIRE to get the camp workers to come and lay it. And we'll still have to make sure that there's somebody that knows what they're talking about to properly pack it down. And we may need some machinery or somebody that knows a lot about building tracks and trails or something.
That's a tractor.
Maybe. To make sure it's done correctly. But these handouts have more information for you. I'm just going to hand them to you right now. My presentation is on the top of the first view. Sorry, you get to read my presentation as well. The presentation is on the bottom of
Thank
these
you.
Others. So,
appreciate it.
Thank There's you. A lot of information here that is stuff you probably don't know about how much work goes into the trail and how much it requires. So we hope that the CSD will help support the trail work, the DG work. We're hoping $4,000 paid to the Redwood Village Trail. They are a separate, they're under the, how do I say this, Rita? They're under the property owner's thumb. We don't let them, well, I'm one of the ones we don't let do fun stuff with the money, but it is a very separate account that only goes to the trail. So we do think this falls under the powers that the CSD holds for parks and recreation. I honestly don't know how else I can, I don't know everything that you do. I can probably figure out some other reason why you should do this. And we are continuing to fundraise. This is not our only ask. We have been fundraising for a couple of years now. We're getting close, but it's just a bigger expense than we can keep asking everyone for their nickels and dimes, which we're also hoping to do. We're thinking of putting out donation containers. Anyway, the work should be done after all the rain, after all the snow, after we get enough money. So I'm hoping in the summer, actually. I think late spring might be too soon, especially here in Redwood. So your consideration is greatly appreciated. That's all I have. Any questions? I have lots of answers, and I have a lot of receipts and things if you really want to see all that. But I can provide financials if you need that.
I have a question. I'm looking on. Thank you for all that you do. I'm looking here on the dream improvements and the crosswalk, and I love that idea. I was curious, have you done, do you know what it would take to get a crosswalk approved right there, like who you'd have to work through?
Not a clue. That was, you know, you all know that when Ron passed away, Sue just decided not to do this, although this was one of their long-time hopes. Mm-hmm. And the way you go from the trail at Bone Pine and cross over, it's at a funny angle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I almost think it'd be really neat if we had some cool arrows or just something mm-hmm. else that would make it more clear. But also I understand that's where one of the actual bus stops is, not the walking bus stop. And that whole area is kind of iffy, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah.
It could be improved, but we're not.
Yeah, I just like the idea. I used to live right there where you're talking about, over off of Barbara and Oak, and it is, it's, I would walk there with my kids, and it's kind of dangerous, like, especially because people use Lone Pine as kind of a transit area up to, you know, upper Lone Pine and whatnot. So I like that idea. I was just curious if you talked to anyone about it.
It really help, and that was something, Sue had that, and taking the trail all the way to Wright Mountain Road is another dream.
Yeah.
That it could be done, and that would be done more with just volunteers and labor. It's the getting what's important taken care of, which is the current condition. The trail is actually really good.
Yeah.
But that's because we've had people on it, and then the guys from Fort Irwin did the trash pickup for us, because I haven't gotten out there to do it. I was supposed to, but I was really glad they did it. It really makes a difference. But we normally pick up trash every Monday. Hmm. And with the snow and rain, we haven't been out there. You know, I could go by myself, my umbrella in my bag, but I don't. So it's just the bigger picture, I think, I hope that shows you anyway that we're not a flash in the pan. This isn't just one thing. We're Russ Drew, who is also not here tonight, his big idea man, and we almost have to like strap him down and gag him, but he's the one that came up with the two nights of lights, and that was wildly successful and really enjoyed by the community, and we're going to continue that. And it turned out that it didn't, we were just going to pay for it, and it turned out we got enough donations to basically break even. So that was unexpected.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that wasn't even trail money, that was property owner's money, basically, that was going to have to pay for it. But it didn't, so it worked out. But there are just a number of people that are really excited about doing the work, helping. I'm hoping to get the guys from Fort Irwin to do a few things. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, any other questions?
Chuck,
I have one for Natalie.
Yes.
Since you were on the feasibility committee,
mm-hmm.
you were on the first on the Yes on CSD campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Did we not vote on the CSD not taking over the walking trail initially, that would have been with the property owners, that it would have been moved to that organization as opposed to the CSD?
I don't remember what year it was, but it was in the beginning, maybe
early,
like 2017 or 2018, and the Village Trail had approached the CSD to ask if the CSD would be willing to take over and maintain the trail, and I believe, if I remember correctly, at the time the CSD said no because of the liability of having the trail, you know, up and down all the way across where, you know, our facilities were right here.
I can't remember the specifics of why, other than no, we didn't want to put it under the CSD.
I think there was concern for liability.
Okay.
To comment on that, the Wrightwood Property Owners does the insurance, and they're the ones overseeing the trail keepers. So they have taken all that on, but we just can't raise enough money to do the whole.
No,
but we could.
I'm not arguing that point. I'm just trying to get the information at this moment in time.
That's my understanding.
As far as the Parks and Rec aspect of it, it's probably closer to Parks and Rec than a lot of other things that we've already said yes to than any of the others that I've always voted no on. But that one probably is closer to Parks and Rec. Okay, so I'm not going in the sense of, you know, I'm against this or anything like that. I just would like this on the record that shows we originally said no to the CSD. So in that sense, I don't really have that much of a problem saying we can donate or we can do whatever. But if we're saying it's Parks and Rec that we're donating to, I question the feasibility of the Brown Act law saying we can donate to something along those lines. It doesn't bother me, but I don't particularly want to be up against or have our insurance up against, you know, defending us and that type of a thing. I think Steve could give me a better answer. But like I said, I think this, the walking trail is probably closer to anything else we're doing on Parks and Rec. I don't have a problem with that aspect. It's more of the, how do we classify this as a donation if we can't donate to other things because of a Brown Act or it fits under Parks and Rec, let me put it that way. I'm just throwing it out there. Steve, you want to comment on my babbling? Go ahead.
No, actually, I think you did a really good job of issue spotting. The concern is not so much the Brown Act, which really governs the manner in which you conduct your meetings, but whether or not a donation would constitute a gift of public funds, which is actually a prohibition not under any statutory law. It's a prohibition under the California Constitution that public agencies cannot use public funds for purposes of providing a gift. It is the standard that you use in your own determinations as to whether or not you're going to waive any fees for use of your facilities. It's the same sort of analysis that goes into it. Is there a benefit related to the services that you are authorized to provide? And the board has to make that determination. And there has to be grounds to support it. So I think you did a really good job of issue spotting, Director Franklin. I think this is one, but also for the reasons that you mentioned, does seem like it is a Park and Rec, could be within the umbrella of that service that you do provide. I do not particularly like the word donation. I think contribution might be better, something like that. I think donation is kind of a more of a, it opens the door to a gift. But what you've done in the past, I believe, when you have contributed district funds, is tied it to a district purpose. Sometimes what you've done is there's been a tie-in to advertising what the CSD does. Having flyers or I don't know what.
Or Christmas tree donations.
I think there was something, a Christmas event where there was a contribution, and then we tied it to some advertising of the the existence of the district.
Well, it's also a benefit to the community.
Yeah.
That type of thing, the Christmas parade and all those type of things.
The benefit needs to be tied to what you're authorized to do.
Yeah.
Can I interject here?
Sure, please.
Last month, if you remember, we approved a variance for the Lions Club and the Village Trail Walkers, and they do chair yoga in here. They use the trail as an exercise program that is kind of has fallen sort of under Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Nice. Absolutely.
So
thank you for
I
that.
Wanted to bring that up because that is a great, they're here every Monday morning.
That's a good point.
Yes.
That's a good point.
So they also say when they walk by my house, Steve, at the corner of Willow and Helen, they all grab together, and there's anywhere from 5 to 15 and they give me a good morning, Chuck, verbal hello.
Aww.
And they've been doing that before the COVID.
Yeah, Monica was here.
When Monica was head of that.
Everybody loves Chuck.
I'm aware of them walking and doing that type of thing.
I know.
I just don't want to have it come back and say, you were against the Brown Act. You're going in for 3 months.
Not going to jail, Chuck. Miss Carroll, when does the DG need to be purchased?
When we have enough money. Okay. Seriously, we will keep maintaining the trail the best we can. They get out there with their pickaxes sometimes. Sometimes if you just smooth it out, it helps with the runoff. The worst area right now is actually in front of the fire station because they very generously took sand and filled ruts, which did not work.
Yeah.
We needed the decomposed granite and it needed to be smoothed out. But so I'm not going to give you a deadline. I just have been told by mainly Sue Parody and Russ Drew that it needs to be done this year.
Has anybody talked to Caltrans about doing this? No, I don't care about that, but doing this during the winter.
Oh.
Is that, you know.
I think Ruben knows more about that. Caltrans, my understanding is Caltrans gave the property owners the say-so over it.
It was a handshake.
Responsibility
yeah.
of it. And they don't want to.
Well, I'd hate to have to keep doing this a few times a year if, you know, we try to do it during the winter and it doesn't stick.
Well, it's like I said, I mean, we got a significant amount that was donated that people literally hand carried over. Originally, it was going to be delivered by a trailer or a backhoe, not backhoe, but you know what I mean,
right.
Bulldozer or something. And then Ron got sick. And
no,
all
I know the history
sad,
on
kind
that.
Of.
Yeah.
So it's really just been absolute. The trail.
I get a call from Sue every friggin' week about have I painted my rocks yet?
Oh.
So I'm aware of what goes yeah. on that type of thing.
But I know.
I mean, if we're gonna pay, you know, anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000 or to $5,000 to $7,000, you know, I'd like to see that it lasts at least a year. You know, the village trail as far as the thing.
It should go for years.
That's why
yeah, but it would have to be done probably professionally, I would think.
The grading needs, we've been working on the grading, but I would like to have someone come out that really knows what's happening. There's this one trail keeper, Tom, and he's been out there with his shovel and he's been moving rocks and he's figured out a significant number of the areas where the water was coming down the trail instead of going across.
Well, you guys have had some incredible volunteers
Absolutely.
Over the years
yeah.
That have worked on that trail. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I'm just looking at, we got public funds, the budget's looking good right now, but we're a couple months away from working on a new budget for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just am looking for information tonight. That's all. I'm not saying yay or nay or any
yeah.
of that stuff.
I'd agree with Chuck on that. I think, personally, my belief is that I think that we can help out in some way. What I would feel more comfortable with is if we could see an estimate
okay.
for the DG, then estimate for the work. That way, that would make me feel more comfortable about our contribution to that versus just blindly giving you guys whatever amount of money because that's what... You think it might be, it may be way more, it may be way less, and I think that we can help hopefully in some way, but I would like to see those things first.
Our estimates are based on past
mm-hmm.
Expenses, and then they did do a lot of it with the Cal Fire
mm-hmm.
workers. We just don't know if we can get those guys, and so the $10,000 was the professional,
yeah.
and it's based on how much the DG costs per square yard.
Yeah,
installation.
And you know, we've been hesitant to. Well, of course, you can't really give estimates when it's covered in snow anyway.
Yeah.
But Russ Drew is more in charge of that. He's the idea and muscles, and I'm the finesse, sort of. try to smooth it over anyway.
Yeah.
But so I don't have as much information other than past receipts that I currently have.
Okay.
And I know, Rita, you did a calculation too that came up with about 7,000.
Somewhere
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
And
but
so,
construction costs.
Yeah, I was just going to say the cost of
everything.
Is,
yeah, mm-hmm. So if you guys can get those numbers and bring it back, I think we could have a better answer for you.
And Angel Rock donated all of the DG, they gave it to us at cost the last time we purchased it.
Okay.
So I don't know that we'll get that. That's what we have to.
But we need to
install. Probably not.
Yeah.
Someone to install properly.
Yeah.
So we've been lucky because
Absolutely.
Community members, it just happened to be my neighbor. And they pulled up all their, your husband came.
Yeah, he picked a lot of it up.
So that was a lot of material that we carried by buckets.
Yeah, well.
Real quick, if you want to put donation little thingies out, I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
We have some if you'd like to borrow them.
We would.
To raise some money.
Yeah. And then I can have maybe come next month with some specific estimates for you.
Okay.
For your contribution.
Yeah,
so,
that would be beautiful. That's what we'd be looking
for. Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Ms. Carroll. Thank you. Very good. Okay, moving on to item number 10, vision plan. So currently for the vision plan, we are going to regroup a little bit, and in terms of the subcommittee and or standing committee, however it is we're wording it, and Miss Natalie has voluntold to participate on that committee with me, I believe.
Well, I thought about it, and I'm very, very busy right now, and so I'd like to ask another board member if they'd consider doing it, just because I really have, zero time. I'm gone probably 6 nights a week right now, so, I will if nobody else can, but I did think about it since last, and I wanted to see if someone else would mind.
Don't look at me.
I know
it's
Chuck's involved with the
nowadays.
Budget and stuff. So I don't know, Alexis, if you'd want to consider maybe teaming with Sadie on that.
I want to say yes, but I am also a full-time student and I work full-time.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. I'll do it, and I will try my best.
Yeah.
So,
we're in the final stretches
of it.
It'll
probably have to be, a daytime thing for me, so
yeah,
if that works for you.
Yeah,
okay.
Flexible.
All right, then I'm in again.
So we will regroup on that with
thank you.
Ms. Natalie.
Okay. Steve, do we have to make any type of change because Christy was on that committee with Sadie, and so do we have to make any, formal movement to replace Christy with myself on this committee?
Yeah, it may be a good idea to have a formal motion on that.
Okay.
All right. I'll make the motion to, volunteer to elect, to nominate Natalie for the Vision Planning Committee.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, motion carries.
All right.
Moving on. Item number 11, Parks and Recreation Coordinator. Position.
Big sigh.
Hey, we're moving right along.
We be moving. Okay, let's see. With the growth of our Parks and Recreation program, I feel it's necessary to hire a part-time Parks and Rec coordinator for approximately 10 to 15 hours a week, with hours increasing along with the programs. I've attached the scope we had for our previous coordinator. Adjustments can be made. We did add a few little things. We figured pay range anywhere $20 to $22 an hour, approximately 10 to 15 hours a week. I worked it just an average. I did 21 hours at 15 hours, just to, the kind of the top would be $315 a week, $1,260 a month, and approximately $16,500 a year, give or take a little. I feel we have the budget for it. We definitely need the staffing. And it would be greatly appreciated if you would consider this for the CSD.
Oh. I like the idea. We, you know, did this back when Monica was working with us. We had it at that time, though, she was an independent contractor. So considering that, is there, like, any pros and cons you see about having this person as an employee versus having them as an independent contractor? And I can't, maybe, Steve, if you could refresh my memory of why we did it that way. I'd like to know that, because I don't remember.
I think the reason we did it that way was for financial reasons.
Okay.
And that that paying an employee was going to be significantly less, or sorry, significantly more than retaining an independent contractor. The requirements for a meeting, the statutory grounds for independent contractor is sort of a moving target. After the Supreme Court's decision in Dynamex, which was about 6 years ago, then that was codified in the law by Assembly Bill 5 by the state legislature, and it has been a constant source of frustration trying to nail down what the exact test is for being an independent contractor versus an employee. Most employers would prefer that it be an independent contractor because that's it costs less in terms of insurance and employee benefits and all of that. But and so for that reason, the state does really look hard at whether or not the relationship, even if it's called an independent contractor, if the relationship is more of an employee. And so to be an independent contractor, you have to satisfy the ABC test primarily, which is that the individual that is hired, sorry, I'm even using the wrong nomenclature, the individual that is retained as an independent contractor commonly works in that area. You would not be, you know, their only client, and that person would dictate the means and methods for performing the work. So it would not be under the general manager. It would be, you know, a direct relationship with the board.
Okay.
And that was part of why that was how it was done before.
Oh, I see.
With this position, if it's an employment position, then that would be, the board would not, the relationship would not be one where the person would work for the board. The person would work for your general manager.
Okay. Thank you. Now I remember, and that kind of jogs some memories as far as, I think Monica wanted some, like, I don't know the good word, but kind of wanted some flexibility on her, you know, like working on her projects kind of independently. So that might have been why we did that. So, okay, thank you, Steve, for that. Now the 315 or the 16,500 for the year, is that including like any type of benefits we'd need to pay or anything? We don't have
no,
to pay benefits?
It's only 10
okay.
to 15 hours.
Okay, gotcha.
So I guess we need to add taxes. I did not even think to add payroll taxes to that. So
mm-hmm.
Well, the odds of it being 15 hours is slim to none.
Because
there's a lot of stuff going on.
Book, right?
You'd be surprised. Angela spends a lot of time on Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
and the hope is that we're expanding.
And we're expanding.
There's lots of things that, like, you know, that we can still do great things that we've talked about, like other leagues and things. Flag football is one that sticks out that I really want to see happen again.
At this point, we cannot add more.
Yeah.
If that's the way it would be.
Yeah.
So we could stay with what we have, or we can grow.
And when we were doing flag...
No, you need help.
Right.
When,
other than the two of you doing it all.
When we were doing
right.
flag football and doing adult soccer at that time, Monica was at the field doing work. And right now with softball, Dan Day handles umpiring for us, but he's setting up the fields and things like that. So he's doing kind of that, like, stuff that you need to do in person. And if we wanted to have flag football and we wanted to have soccer, we would need someone that can be there and be present and on site to make sure it's all going on.
I just don't see it as a part-time position, is all, based on the number of hours.
Right.
In fact, that's...
Exactly. I'm just going off of what Monica had, and like I said, we can change it.
Yeah.
I see it being more. I don't see it being 40 hours.
I'm not opposed to it as long as we've got the money to cover it through... Well, no, there wouldn't be registration, but through whatever, as long as we got the dollars to pay them, then I don't have a problem with that. But to start off saying, well, it's going to be a part-time person, I just don't believe that. I think there'll be more work.
We're hoping
there'll be more work as there's more programs. And then you can adjust as that happens, right? Like, that's kind of how Monica's position was designed, too, is it was supposed to support itself with the money we were making off the parks program. So if the more they do, they're going to need more hours. But I think Tammy can probably, you know, judge that as time goes by and ask for more if that comes up, right?
I think so,
yeah.
Can we, like, put that in the scope of work or whatever job description you're planning on
Put what?
Just put that, like, it's 10 to 15 hours right now, but that doesn't necessarily, like,
potential for growth.
Potential for expansion of the position.
Just because I don't know, I mean, I'm sure there are people up here that would be interested in 10 to 15 hours, but...
A lot, it's hard filling a 10 to, it's hard filling a 20 hour.
Yeah.
It really is. But then you have your people going to school.
Right.
You know,
That's true.
You never know. Just... Mm-hmm.
Cool. So I'm assuming we need a motion here, Mr. Kennedy, to create the position, or how do we handle that?
Yes, definitely a motion.
Would you want him as an independent contractor or an
employee?
No. Employee.
Yeah, we're all in agreement of an employee. We want it under you.
Yeah, I just wanted my memory jogged so I could remember why we did that. So thank you.
I just remember it was a lot of
Yeah.
And that was...
Cool. Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion. I'd love to see this happen, that we create a position for a Parks and Rec coordinator under the direction of Tammy. And I want to ask before I make the motion, are you going to, like, advertise the position and put it out to hire somebody, or do you have somebody in mind already? Or?
No, I don't have someone in mind, but I have someone interested.
Uh-huh.
And the more applications, the better.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
This person, I don't know their...
I think you have to legally put it out
there. I think probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yes, I'll definitely run an ad.
Thank you. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the hiring of a Parks and Recreation coordinator under our general manager.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Yay.
Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Item number 12, stipend for board members.
Steve probably better.
Mr. Kennedy, do you want to take this one?
Well, I think it's very low right now.
Do you mind, Steve? Thank you. I mean, I can, but it is your...
Is this going to be considered a contribution or a donation?
I don't care as long as it's money in my pocket.
Small one in my throat.
All right, Mr. Kennedy.
Just don't make me lose my...
Go ahead.
I have paid my tax.
All right. Okay. I was requested by the general manager to provide information to the board on a potential... a stipend for the board and what the process is for that to occur. So what you have in the agenda materials is a memo that I prepared that deals with that. This is an area that similar to 85 is one where there has been quite a bit of movement legislatively. This essentially started with Assembly Bill 1234, 1234, about 15 years ago, where the state legislature really started regulating how boards of special districts compensate themselves. Now, this board has never and taken a stipend, has never received any compensation for the work that you do, but you are legally entitled to it. And so what you have in the memo is kind of what that process is. So under your enabling legislation, which is the government code for the CSDs, you are entitled to receive up to $100 per day of service per month, no more than 6 days per month. And that would, if the board were inclined to do that, that the board would need to adopt an ordinance or a resolution to that effect. So up to $100 for a day of service, not more than 6 days per month. A day of service is not just board meetings, but it is what is described on the bottom of page one of the memorandum, the type of, into the top of page two, the type of those type of events, those five different kinds of events under your enabling legislation are what has been codified into the law as being a day of service for the district. Now, you can do 2 days. The unique thing about this is you can do two events in one day, and you would only be able to be compensated for one event, because again, it's a day of service. So if you do five events that would otherwise be compensable on a single day, you would only get paid whatever number that the board, only for one day of service. Conversely, if you showed up at the board meeting lasts 10 minutes and you go home, that's still a day of service and you would be compensated for that amount, unless the board adopted as part of its resolution or ordinance some sort of different standard, which you can do. But that is how that works. Arising out of that paradigm under the government code came AB 1234, which was adopted under the water code. And even though it's under the water code, it still applies to essentially all special districts within the state. And it also has a $100 limit, but it has some adjustments that attach to it. One is that the number of days of service, the cap can get as high as 10 days of service per month. Additionally, the board would be able to increase that $100 at a rate no higher than 5% per year from the date of the last adjustment. So let's say the board were to adopt a $100 rate as, you know, see your next meeting. Then a year from now, the board could increase it 5%. Or the board could do nothing, and then what I've seen a lot of times is the board may wait for 5 years and then increase it, and could increase it 25%, but then only increase it a number lower than that, which then restarts the clock for any future increases. The types of days of service for which compensation would be allowed is expanded a little bit under the water code, but the main thing is that the board would need to adopt a written policy concerning the types of events that would qualify as a day of service, so that the public knows what that is, has the ability to participate in the discussion of what should or should not qualify as a day of service. And that policy is adopted by an open session and duly agendized and is part of the Brown Act process. And then the forms that the board, the directors would file to seek the compensation would also be something that we would agendize, and the board would approve those. if it's beyond, say, your regular board meeting or special board meeting, the board would have to provide a report publicly as to what you did that would qualify. As part of that, you can also seek reimbursement of expenses under AB 1234. The type of expenses are limited, and the amounts are also limited. That's in the memo, and there's some real detail on that, and I won't go into the weeds for reimbursement, but that's there in the memo. And then also the trigger for ethics training. Now, I don't, some of you may already have voluntarily undertaken ethics training under AB 1234, but if you receive but you're not obligated to because you don't receive compensation. Once you receive compensation, then you are obligated to engage in ethics training. It's 2 hours every 2 years that you would have to be part of typically a seminar in which ethics laws and principles are presented specifically as it relates to your service as a member of the board of special district. So that's the process. If you wanted to use the AB 1234 process for a stipend, then which means if you wanted to go above the 6 meetings a month, we would have to go through AB 1234 to do that, which means it does require an ordinance and a public hearing. So we would have to advertise that in the paper and notice that up as a public hearing. If the board were to adopt that ordinance, it would not take effect for 60 days following adoption.
Questions, so Steve?
That in a nutshell, I'll be glad to answer. I know it's a lot, but I'll be glad to answer any questions that the board may have.
Yes, Steve, a question. Given the fact we have ad hoc committees for certain things. Right now we have a situation where we have public meetings that are not mandatory, but it's for the vision of what we want Wrightwood to end up being. And if we have a couple board members that are going to the vision meeting and, you know, getting information, maybe it's with a supervisor, a state supervisor, or whatever it may be, as an example, what we're doing with the Village Trail. Is that something that would be considered if they do it on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the vision statement with the people? Would that be 3 days of compensation? Or if it's just it's the same issue as far as doing a vision statement, that would be considered 1 day of compensation? How would that work for meetings like that?
So for standing committees, would be our Brown Act meetings. So those would be compensable. And each as a day of service, and for each day of service, then that would qualify. Now, what the board could do, if the concern is that would be, it could be excessive. Remember the cap, and so the cap is under your enabling legislation would be 6. That doesn't mean you can't go lower. So if the concern is committee meetings gone wild, then what you can do is just say, the stipend is X amount per day of service, no more than 3 days per month. And it's kind of a transition into, maybe maxing out on the number of days of service, depending upon if that's something that the board wants to do. But the board would have the ability to control the number of days of service for which compensation would be eligible.
Okay, I think I understood that, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm, debating whether I should go to the ad hoc committee and do the vision statement, but no, I really can't though physically. So
I was going to say the irony is the vision meetings have been a resounding cry from the community of pay your board members.
Yeah. No, I was just making a joke that was probably inappropriate.
It wasn't. No.
Anyway, I'm not opposed to this aspect. You know, but that'd be up to the complete board to pass a resolution, those type of things, if we did it. I mean, I walked into this knowing we weren't going to get a dime, that this was presented, we accepted the positions, that it was strictly volunteer, and we wouldn't get anything out of it other than the beratement of the community.
The love from the community?
No, that wasn't love on some of those meetings, believe me. But anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. And no, I don't want to join the vision committee.
You just don't want to hang out with me more.
I want to piggyback off that, and I'll just give my opinion. Tammy, thank you so much for thinking of us and, you know, putting this on here. That's very kind, and I know that you're showing us that you appreciate us, and you know that we put in a lot of time. And Steve for preparing the memo. But for me, I would not vote yes on this personally, because the same as what Chuck said. I came in here very first board. I knew that it was going to be volunteer, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to volunteer my time. I think that, you know, I just think that I have a volunteer spirit, and I would like, you know, I would like to continue volunteering, and I would like to see that money go to things in the community that we need, you know, new trash cans or painting our bathrooms or something like that. I would prefer to not take a stipend, so that in the future we can just keep kind of putting back into our facilities, or having an employee to pay to do more parks and rec programs. And you know, it's been 7 years for me about, and I'll volunteer, and you know, I know, you know, I'll be gone in November.
I missed my good morning Chuck thing from the kids.
Yeah. So I know it won't impact me, because, you know, I will be done in December, so I don't want to sway anybody for their futures in serving on the board. But me personally, I would say no at this time to taking a stipend.
I echo what Natalie is saying, because we all understood that when we were running for these positions, and we all have a volunteer spirit. That's why we're here. That's why we give what we give. However, I have sat through all of the community meetings, and just the feedback from them is that it's important to pay board members for a few reasons. For accountability, because are we showing up to meetings? If the community is paying us $100 per meeting, what did we accomplish at that meeting? You know, you're held to a higher standard. You can't just say, oh, well, we're all volunteers, we're doing the best we can. No, the taxpayers are paying you, so there's accountability in that. And I do appreciate that. And I also think that just volunteers are a dying breed, unfortunately. And we kind of saw this with the last election of three people that signed up for the positions got the positions. The community didn't even get to vote. Not that you guys aren't awesome, but there wasn't even like a race for who is the best fit for this, who is the best for that. And a stipend, again, it goes into accountability. The other reason from the community is to make sure that we are all experts in what we're doing. And if there's a CSD or a CSDA class on something, that money could provide somebody babysitting fees and gas money to go out to an accounting class to make sure that we are all experts in what we do here. And it is very minimal on that basis. And another reason is that even if we approve this, we don't have to take the stipend. You know, if we approve this just in the sense of hopefully for the future board and for this upcoming election that we get qualified people that are willing to fight for it and the accountability behind that, we don't have to submit the $100. It just, this sets up the ability to do that. We're one of the only CSDs that don't pay
a stipend, and $100 per meeting is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. But again, the biggest thing for me is just accountability, is that if I give you $100, what did you do to fight for me and my family here in Wrightwood as a property owner?
I voted no. That's what I did for you.
I know you did, Chuck. So that's just kind of the sense that I got from the community and the reason behind it. But I'm with you. I mean, I signed up for this 4 years ago. I fought for it in an election. I paid for an election.
Yes,
you know, there's fees that go into it. I pay for a babysitter. I pay for gas and all this. And I do that because I love this community, and I would do it again if I had the time. But that's not the case for everybody. And we may not even get people to sign up in the next election. We may have to appoint somebody, and that would be expensive. And so if $100 means somebody can pay a babysitter for the night so they can come on the board, I think that it's an important investment in the future to set up that roadmap for it. Doesn't mean we have to take it. I think we're in a great financial spot to be able to handle it if we want to. But again, it's not
mandatory. Since we're in closed session, Steve, is it permissible? Oh, we're not in closed session.
Not yet. No.
There's still people here, Chuck.
Yeah, see?
We have an audience.
Then we can have comments from the public? Or questions? Or
yeah, I guess we didn't really. So. Can the public comment on this if they have a comment? Now, Steve, I know usually you do it before we discuss.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear from Alexis. Yeah, one more board member, and then if the public has a comment.
I see both of your points, and I feel like I wouldn't want to take a stipend because I do agree that, you know, there are other things in the community that we can be financing with that. But I also, I honestly wasn't expecting to win this, and then it was just like, oh yeah, nobody else ran, so here.
Yeah. Congrats.
So I also think that using that as an incentive, because both of you are done after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So using that as an incentive to get people to actually run, and then maybe we'll, you know, be able to have, the community will have more of a say of who's sitting up here. So I'm not opposed to it, but I wouldn't want to personally take it.
Tammy, has there been people that are interested in running for the board in the future?
I have two people that have approached, asked me what's entailed in getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how serious, you know, they are. But I would hope so.
Angela, are you going to run for the board?
No. I would not let her. No.
So she's our employee.
She's fine. No.
Is there any public comments out there? Anybody?
Maybe that's something you bring up in your closed door with you guys. Decide. You got both ways going. Yes, no. Make a decision.
I don't believe that's something we can discuss in private.
We can, because it's not agendized as part of our closed session either. Yeah.
No.
No, we couldn't go into closed session for that anyways.
Yeah. That's an open conversation.
Go ahead, Stretch.
Stretch Sula. Natalie, to your point, and Chuck, to your point, I think y'all need to realize how much the CSD has improved the community and has, through your hard work, through Tammy's hard work, you've got more money coming in that you didn't have in 2017. And so as far as money goes, you should look at how you have improved our community financially and just the way things are better run. As an idea, and you know, I think you're deserving of it, and especially where you have the committee meetings away from this, you should be compensated for that, because you're taking your time away from your personal life to discuss the best for our community. So
thank you,
appreciate it. Anyone else? Public comment? Nope. So I'm not sure how you guys want to proceed here. If you want to take a month to think about it, or if anybody wants to make a motion, or...
No matter what, we would need, like, a new, not policy, what does Steve call it?
That's if we change it.
Well, no, I think we would, do you mean approving this right here? This resolution?
Resolution.
Oh, okay.
Which, not, oh, but this isn't a resolution. Okay. Gotcha.
The ask right now would be if the board was inclined to consider a stipend, then I would need direction on drafting either a resolution or an ordinance, and then what you would want the resolution or ordinance to be that would be presented to say what sort of terms and conditions would you have for your potential stipend. And then that would come back to the board for potential adoption.
And we couldn't do this in closed session because it's not on the agenda.
It has to be by resolution or ordinance. And I don't have any direction on what it is the board would want to agendize for your meeting.
Gotcha. No, Chuck, Mr. Kennedy just said it. This wouldn't be an appropriate closed session topic, right, Mr. Kennedy?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, this is all public.
Okay. I mean, I am inclined to wait on it for a month and then come back and have it a further discussion. Okay. Just to kind of, I mean, I feel like the biggest thing is going to be getting interest in this next election.
I agree with that. I'd like to table it for a month and discuss next month whether or not we move forward creating a resolution or an ordinance. Sound good, Ms. Tammy?
Sounds good to me.
Cool. All right, so the next item is closed session. Do we want to do director's comments first? Because we won't have anything from closed session
not,
to report.
Yeah. That's sure. If
okay.
We can do
Mr.
That.
Kennedy, is it okay if we do director's comments prior to closed session?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Let's go ahead and do that. Then director's comments, item number 15, Mr. Chuck.
I would like to see on next month's agenda the procedure or the discussion of replacing CR&R as our trash, putting the trash out to bid for a new company other than CR&R, and see what kind of a deal we could get, that type of thing. And given the fact that we would have to do that as an agenda item initially, that would be my comment to put that on, and I appreciate the feedback as far as what we've done tonight, but I think it's time when we take a look at CR&R, because when I sign checks, it seems like we're paying them more than we are getting for the exclusive contract we have given them. My point of view.
Cool. Alexis, anything?
I want to say thank you all to the community members that have come out tonight, and I am looking forward to seeing the ways that we can support the community further, specifically the Wrightwood Village Trail. I am really excited to see bids so that we can potentially provide a contribution. Thank you all for coming out.
Yes, thank you to the community for being here. We appreciate that, and thank you to our staff. You work hard every single month, and it's very appreciated. I love seeing all the programs that you guys are doing right now. It makes me so happy, and I know the community appreciates it very much. Thank you to our legal counsel, Steve, for always walking us through everything, and thank you for the board, to the board for all of your volunteer hours. And I would like to ask if Tammy, maybe we could add to the agenda for the next meeting. I was gonna ask this during general manager's report, but then I forgot. But I'd like to see if maybe we could get some quotes on new trash cans.
Yes.
For the park. Ooh, because they're so small, and with busy weekends, they overfill and it's...
I was talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd like to see if we could get something more functional and maybe something that, I don't know if we need bear-proof ones, but maybe, you know, bigger, more industrial ones that fit more things in them. So if we could maybe explore that this month and have it on the agenda.
I was holding off on the trash cans for park because I wanted to put this bid on the agenda.
Okay.
And that's part of the bid that's okay. not being done right now.
Okay.
So.
Okay, well, whenever that's ready,
future,
that'd be
yes.
great.
But the park for sure.
Okay, thank you.
And I was just whispered from the audience looking to ceiling tile bid.
Oh,
new
yes,
ceiling tiles.
That was another one.
If we could put that on the agenda.
Those were, we just replaced all the light bulbs.
Light bulbs look good.
Can you see,
the,
you can
just
see
made the tiles.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. work is slowly but surely we'll get there.
Very good. And then next meeting, I would also like to discuss. Actually, maybe not. I'll take that back. I'll talk to you later.
You always call me.
Yeah. thank you guys for all that you do. On a personal note, I don't know how long I was waiting to announce this, but I am actually pregnant and expecting a little baby boy. Yeah. 7 months pregnant, so I'm due June 1st with, yeah, another little boy, so we're very excited. James Anthony, after my brother and dad, because my son, John William Strickland, is after his dad, so. We're very excited, and I'm very uncomfortable already, so we'll see. But hopefully this baby lasts a little longer. And that's all that I have. I think that's everything. So we will recess to closed session. Do I have to say the time? 6:51?
Yes.
When is the next future board
meeting? Oh, future board meeting is
April
Tuesday, April 2nd.